The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm joined in the studio now by Daniel Ennis of the Social Democrats and Dublin's newest TD. After only 3 years in politics, Daniel won the Dublin Central seat in the recent by-election, formerly held, of course, by the former Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue. So congratulations, firstly, on your achievement.
Thanks very much, Claire.
How's the first couple of days have been? First week, isn't it, that you've been in the door?
Yeah,
last week was your first day.
Yeah, it's still quite overwhelming. You know, I'm delighted, obviously, and very, very proud. Like, it's a very, very proud moment for myself and my family, Claire. So just trying to embrace all of that. And I can't wait just to keep getting back to working hard for Dublin Central.
What was it like going in there for the first time on Tuesday?
Oh, it was a bit mad. It was. Like, there's no doubt about that, Claire. Like, it's still all quite new to me. But from my mum and my brother and my fiancé, like, they weren't out on any canvases or anything, so they weren't seeing the lovely buzz that we're getting off people and the great reaction, and they're not anyway involved in politics. So that was their first interaction with all of that. So the media scrum was the first piece. And then, like, I think my mum, Chloe and Jeff went home like three ghosts, you know, after seeing me walking around the Dáil Chamber and shaking hands with the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste and all the other party members. Because, like, they're almost looking at it from a camera on my shoulder. You know, and it's
a bizarre experience for them.
Oh, it is.
But it sounds like your mum sort of warned you about it before you went into politics, didn't she? She said all of this stuff is going to be brought up, you know, your dad's background, all of that. So was she worried about you?
Ah, she was, of course. You know, like, see, a lot of our family history is exploited by crime or addiction, or, like, you know, we're afraid to look backwards sometimes. You know, so when anyone in our communities are doing well, there's almost like a wraparound, like, just be careful, you know, like, sometimes we get the feeling like that we don't belong in those circles. And that happened to me when I first entered politics, Claire. I was very much like kind of questioned the way I spoke, you know, my accent, like around the halls of Leinster House when I was start working with Gary. I was like, do I change
Gary
the way
Gannon,
I speak?
Yeah.
You know, and my mum kind of was saying that, it's like, look, the papers will share stories about your dad. Like, you know, just be careful. Just, again, it was a worry because we can deal with when you're kind of, when things are going wrong, because we're used to that. But when you're doing well, or you're kind of entering into a world that we're not used to, there's a wraparound there, and there's a worry.
And how did you rationalise that? So, yeah, they're going to bring up stuff that's going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to have to talk about it. How did you process that? Like, how did you make the decision that that was going to be something that was you could deal with, you could cope with?
Well, first of all, Claire, it's very much not my story. You know, it's my dad's past, you know, and, like, it was the first, like, as my mum said, your dad had a first very hard and horrible first 25 years of his life, you know, grew up in entrenched poverty. And in the early 90s, he went to prison and came out and made a decision to turn his life around. You know, that was all when I was a child. I knew nothing of that. You know, all I knew my father to be was a good father, a good community person. And, like, what I know of my father, and, like, he's turned some of my best friends' lives around, took them away from going down the wrong road. And his work is remembered by me and by everyone in the community as someone who helped people within the community and set up an at-risk football club.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I suppose it's not even him I'm talking about there. Yeah. It's about that general sense of they're going to come for you, you know?
Yeah,
and you've explained it so well that people that you grew up with have that sense. So you can either decide, well, I'm going to push through that and I'm going to do what you've done, or I can pull back.
Yeah. Well, Claire, if you look, like, if I pull back from politics, what am I saying to the kids that I coach on a Saturday and Sunday that have no kind of connection to politics and have no family members that are in politics like I hadn't? You know, so if you can't see it, you can't be it. You know, so now not only am I their football coach, I'm the local TD. And they're learning things now, like, from the posters. So they're looking at the posters and saying, Daniel, it's another election on. Tell us about it. You know, so they're learning things that I only learned a few years ago. They're learning at 6, 7 and 8 years of age. And, like, to this, like, for this, like, or what I'm doing is a message to them that, yeah, they do belong and they can be who they want to be. And if I was to step back from that, like, I think it'd be a great disservice to Irish politics, because we talk about the imbalances in Irish politics and in Dáil Éireann, and we never really speak about the class imbalance. You know, there's not many people in Dáil Éireann that speak like me, Claire, you know?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people in Ireland who don't think we have a class system.
Oh, we most definitely do. It shapes who you are, where you go next, and what jobs you get. There's no ifs or buts on that. And I've seen that. Like, maybe I'm still living with that, but I want to break through all those ceilings, you know, and I want to show again the young people from disadvantaged areas, not only in Dublin Central, but right across the country, that you can do it, you know. And I'm a prime example of when our young people are supported and given opportunities that they will thrive.
Well, that's what Catriona O'Sullivan says all the time, you know, and I've chatted to her a good few times about this now, that it's not about where you come from or what your background is. It's about the opportunities that you get.
Like, yes.
Bottom line.
Yeah. And look, a sport done that greatly for me. You know, it
tell
was,
us about that. Tell us about your background in sport.
Yeah, so I started playing football on. I played football on every blade of grass and every piece of concrete in Dublin City. You know, knocking on certain doors, canvassing people. Like, geez, Niall, I remember when you were kicking the ball off our wall. You know, and you whatever else. It's a nice entry point. But sport for me, and I speak about sport. Sport is a lifesaver. You know, like that blade of grass or that piece of concrete in a flat complex is a lifesaver. Like it brought me to where I am now. You know, I have a family member that's kind of went down the wrong road and were similar in age. And if it wasn't for that, like football or that football pitch, you know, I don't know where I'd be now, Claire. You know, I certainly wouldn't be sitting in Dáil Éireann. So it's when I speak about sport, like I speak about our sports clubs, our football clubs. Like I joined Belvedere Football Club, again, a stone's throw from where I'm living in Fairview Park when I was 7 years of age. Mm-hmm. And I made some of my best friends I'll ever make in football, like former international Keith Tracy. Me and him were thick as thieves, you know. Whenever anything was going down, you'd see us on the local football pitch. And that brought me then to playing for a League of Ireland club with Bowes, Shells and Bray. And if it wasn't for, and I don't undersell my parents or other family members that were very, very good to me as well, but if it wasn't for sport and football in particular, like I would have fell to the challenges of the North Inner Sea.
Yeah, and like you talk about your family member and so many others who have...
The Sleep Outfitters 4th of July sale is happening now. Save up to $1,000 on Beautyrest Black adjustable sets and experience next level comfort and support. Plus, enjoy free white glove delivery and setup. But hurry, deals this big won't last long. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
Made the wrong choice. I mean, it's hard even saying that because for some people there is no choice. Mm. But did you ever have a moment where you could have deviated from the path that you're on now, you know? Do you remember being a teenager going, oh, this is just too hard?
Yeah, there would have been times where if it wasn't for, again, a friend of mine, Keith Tracy. So we were on our same journey. So Keith lives in Sherry Street and kind of had family members that had went down the wrong road. And it was around kind of 13 or 14 where, you know, all kids get a bit of a smell for themselves and, you know, they either go one way or another. And like to some people, like going out on a football pitch and getting kicked around a muck bat every Saturday and Sunday is not the most glamorous, but I loved it. And I love sports. So it was around that time where, you know, you're going through your different friends groups. So you have a couple of friends and skills. And that's why not only the sports clubs are so important, like my local school was so important to me, the local youth club. There were great kind of safety nets there. And not only the mentors and the youth workers and the teachers and the coaches, but also good people, you know, good kind of friend groups that, you know, it's almost like I look at certain things that happened around our area and I look at like the Venn diagram of all those kind of wrong things, whether it be crime, addiction. We look at the feud that happened in our area. Like I was, and so many people from our area were in the middle of that Venn diagram. But if it wasn't for sport and those safety nets in the North in our city, like we would have felt the challenge of it. Mm-hmm. There's no ifs or buts.
And you're coaching now still, are you?
I am. Oh yeah. Well, I haven't been the last few weeks, Claire. I have to be honest. So they were screaming at me. So I got elected on Saturday night at 12:30 and I went back to our tens the next morning and then I got a lovely round of applause by all the kids. But I think they were just delighted to have me back. Back around the place. They're like, Daniel, where have you been? And to them, the election was the second most important thing happening.
Will you stay doing that now?
100%. Claire, like that's my therapy. Like I know coaching 40 or 50 or 60 kids on a Saturday and Sunday sounds mad to people, but that is my therapy. You know, I see them growing. I see them, whether their athleticism or their social development. I see that every week. And it's maybe somewhat still my connection to my dad as well, Claire. You know, because it was his club that he set up and I'm kind of bringing that on to a yes. place where he could probably never bring it, you know. So that's so important to me.
We're chatting after a weekend where there were two deaths in Dublin City Centre. Yeah. Investigations underway in relation to both of them. And then people ask more than ever, is Dublin safe? How do you answer that question?
Well, it's very hard to speak to those families. First of all, my thoughts and prayers are with the families of the victims. And like Dublin, by and large, is a safe city. But there are parts of our city centre in particular and Dublin Central and more concentrated in the north in our city that are just not safe, Claire. You know, our own Minister for Justice has admitted that. And the places he speaks about are the city centre. They are around Dublin 1. And these are places that have long been not safe. You know, they've long been unsafe. And the failure to address that is quite shameful.
What's the answer to that? Is it more police?
It is a start. Look, we need a more visible guard of presence, Claire. Like, there's no doubt about that. And around our city centre, there's parts and pockets that are kind of there is visible police presence, but the communities around it are being sucked of resources when it comes to the guards. They're being deployed in the city centre core, so around your main thoroughfares, O'Connell Street, and over on Grafton Street. But
well, that's policing for the shoppers and the tourists.
Well, that's and again, we're feeling the effects in the communities. But the short, medium, and long term is investment in our communities. You know?
Because if you go back to the financial crash, like a lot of the community programs in your area would have been pulled.
Absolutely.
And they were never reinstated.
No.
Some or many of them, right?
No, that's I see that. Like, you know, I have a background in youth work, as we spoke out there, Claire, and the sports clubs. Like, we have no full-size sports pitch in Dublin One. Like, this scenario that has turned out, as I spoke about Keith Tracy, Kelly Harrington, Troy Parrott, like, it's in the shadow of Crow Park, like the home of sport in our country, and we haven't got a full-size pitch. And I'm here sitting here speaking about how sport has brought me to represent Dublin Central in Dáil Éireann. That's mm-hmm. the power of sport,
mm-hmm.
to bring people together, to intervene when people are struggling. It's so powerful, and it's long at the point where it's being disrespected when it comes to funding. So we talk about the fixes to making our communities safer, yeah. making us stronger. It's about sport, and we haven't got a full-size pitch.
The South Inner City had that big investment programme under when Enda Kenny was leader of Fine Gael and Taoiseach. The North Inner City has been crying out for that, particularly when it comes to sport investment. Now, is there any sign of that on the horizon?
So we have the NEIC initiative, which is up and running now about 10 years, and it kind of sprung about, and I think it was when Enda Kenny was in power, from the back of what we're seeing with the Fuel and the Movie Report.
Yeah.
And it's sorely needed. But the way I look at that sometimes, and it's not to run the funding down, because we do need it, and I think we'll only see change after 20 years, 20, 25 years, like it'll have to be generational change. But sometimes I feel like it's throwing money at a burning house. You know, it's the ministers coming in for the snapshot of opening up a new part of the school. You know, and I spoke to certain ministers about this, and, well, Daniel, look, it's brought about a school, it's brought about new playgrounds with the Diamond Park. But is that not what every town, village or area or community should have?
So what are you saying should happen then?
So I think we need more targeted investment. You know, look at that full-size football pitch. For instance, if we're taking sport and football, never too far away from that, Claire, as you know. But if we're looking at, let's say, a sports complex or a community hub where 20 or 30 different community groups can come together, bring all those safety nets together under one roof, and a sports pitch, recognise the community's needs. Like, clubs will come to you and ask for a jersey sponsorship. I do it myself, and it's sorely needed. But after 18 months, they're going to come back again for that jersey sponsorship. If you give them the tools to be sustainable, their own house, their own home, their own community, their own 80-grown volunteers, they're not coming back asking for another jersey sponsorship. They're asking coming for another story on their sports complex to engage more young people. And this is not something that is, it's never been done. It's done with GAA clubs right across the country. But in Dublin Central, we keep getting it wrong.
Can I just turn to politics? TD for the Social Democrats, Holly Kearns has spoken about her ambition to increase radically the number of TDs that you have. You have 12 at the moment. Do you think that getting to 24 is feasible?
Absolutely. Yeah, like we're ambitious as a party. I look at all of the reps as well in terms of how passionate they are about the areas he represents. I look at the councillors that we have. I see what we've done in the last local elections, what we've done in the last general election, yeah. as well as the boy election.
But when it comes to a left alliance then, Holly Kearns is kind of soft on that, in that she would encourage people to vote left, but there's no clear left alliance with some of the parties there. Where do you stand on Sinn Féin? Do you see Sinn Féin as being a left party?
Well, I see Sinn Féin as a left party, but I would disagree on certain points, you know, and approaches that they take. Like on the doors, Claire, well, look, I was encouraging people vote left, transfer left. And I strongly believe that we will see, and I hope to see, a left government, and obviously hope to be a part of that left government.
And you think Sinn Féin would be part of that government with the Soc Dems?
Well, I'm sure they will be in discussions. You know, it's hard to speak before the next general election. I've recently only got elected myself, Claire.
But Holly Kearns has said they need to figure out who they are and where they stand on things before that could happen.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with Holly on that point. You know, I think we firmly know who we are. And a result of how well we done in the boy election was standing by our values, you know, not deviating or not plumazing someone on the door just for a vote. You know, there were certain conversations I was going in with a helmet on, you know, approaching the door where a canvasser was maybe getting a bit of grief, but I wasn't turning away. I was going into those difficult conversations.
What types of conversations? About immigration?
Immigration came up a few times. It was just angry conversations about housing. You know, in the state of housing, a couple of pieces around support for children with additional needs. Immigration came up on, I'd easily say it came up about 10 or 12 times.
But housing was top of the list, was it?
Housing, cost of living, community safety, and I suppose cost of living mixed in with childcare. The childcare piece was something that kind of not caught me by surprise, because I'm living it myself, Claire, as we spoke about before. But it's something that I never really got reps on as a counsellor. You know where you're getting reps about housing, you're getting reps about community safety, or different bits and bobs going on maybe locally, nationally and internationally. Childcare never came up. But I think that was when you're one-on-one with someone on the door, they feel like they can share something personal with you.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody, again, as we spoke about, Claire, nobody wants to turn around and say, oh, I'm not paying that for my child. You know?
Tell me, where do you see Fianna Fáil on the political spectrum? Because they would say that they are centre-left.
Yeah, I'd have to disagree with that, because some of the language that we're seeing from the Taoiseach around immigration is pretty horrible. I find it frankly disgusting, Claire, if I'm being honest. Like blaming the housing crisis on immigration or on migrants is completely wrong. You know, we've had a housing crisis long before we've seen...
When did he do that?
Well, he's done it in the Dáil, you know, and he's done it on a couple of different occasions, you know, linking migration to housing and the housing problem. Before we...
I know Simon Harris was certainly accused of that, but I don't know if Micheál Martin was specifically, but you believe that he was?
Ah, yeah, I do. And obviously the tarnished it as well. You know, some of the language changing and blaming it on vulnerable groups and minority groups. I wish I could say it's something that we've only experienced recently, but it's not. You know, this was done about people in the North Inner City, Claire, for a long time. We were treated like problems and numbers. Again, criminalised because of where we came from, and blamed for things and never got a chance to speak up for ourselves. You know, and that's a horrible trend that's continuing now.
And how do you feel about Gerry Hutch getting 11% of first preference votes in Dublin Central? What does that tell you?
Well, what that shows us, again, is what we were seeing with those angry voters. You know, those voters that were disillusioned with politics. Again, Claire, you have to remember, like, parts of the North Inner City in Dublin Central, politics has shaped those communities and those areas for all the wrong reasons. Because of neglect, turning to poverty and crime and addiction, and being left behind by a political system that has never really worked for it. You know, so I think that's a reflection of the anger and the disillusionment and a lot of people feeling disenfranchised with politics and feeling like people don't represent them. You know, so that's where I was coming in and meeting people on the level, meeting them where they were, getting a bit of stick, you know, because of certain stands that I took on certain issues. But
like what?
Well, in terms of like immigration came up a couple of times in those harder conversations. But then when you scratch away the surface of it, it's around housing, or it's about someone that, like, again, a rep from another party. Probably
but people link immigration policy to problems with housing, don't they?
At times, but wrongly so, Claire. Like, wrongly so, you know, and it's when you speak to somebody, when you don't just say to them on the door, oh, you're right, can I get your number one? You know, that's not what we'll do. Like, there were certain doors where my campaign manager's coach and were dragging me away from because I was probably spending 10 or 12 minutes on. But that's not a vote to me. Like, I want to represent anybody that calls Dublin Central home, whether I agree with you or disagree with you, because I think we need to build back up that trust in politics. Mm-hmm. Between the community and the representatives that are supposedly representing them.
Some of your political opponents as well spoke about your previous job working for Dominic's Crazy Deals, and there was a judgment registered against the owner of that. They were fined for selling illegal cigarettes. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, so that was a job that I had. I was working in a warehouse, you know, Claire, if I was to tell you, like, thinking back then that I'd be in a studio talking with yourself and representing Dublin Central and Dáil Éireann, I would have turned around and told myself that I was mad, you know, that had never happened. So it was a job that I had working in a warehouse, stacking shelves when the warehouse wasn't busy, putting together groceries, toilet rolls, washing powder, you know, minerals, sweets. And that's what it was. That was my job, yeah.
But you're talking like you were an operative, but weren't you the company secretary at one stage?
Yeah, so around COVID, like, obviously, I was the only one out of, I think, my friend group that was working. There was a lot of people not working, and the shop was in trouble, you know, the place in trouble. And my then boss had asked me, would I step on to the board? And I did.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in terms of what it was... It didn't take away from what I was doing my day to day. You know, I was still that warehouse operative.
Okay, so, and you reject any knowledge of this conviction that this person had or the activities that were happening there?
Oh, look, when the raid happened, it was much a shock to me as anybody else working in the shop. You know, and like you say, I condone criminal activity. Absolutely don't, Claire. Like, I work with young people around youth diversion, crime prevention. And, you know, everything I have done to this point, you know, who I've met, the people have shaped my entry into politics. You know, it's part of, and a huge part of my work is crime prevention and stopping our young people from going down the wrong road. Mm.
Do you have any fear around all of those things that were raised on the doorstep with you and everything that you know about your community and what they need, that now that you're elected, they're going to expect you to do something about it?
Yeah, well, look, it's continuing what I've been doing about it, Claire, to be honest. Like, it's continuing that hard work. Like, it starts with not over-promising people anything, because there were certain doors where I was going to, and it's like, oh, what are you going to promise now? I'm not going to promise anything but honesty, hard work and a deep humanity that I've brought from my community to the council chamber, and what I've brought, I am going to bring to the Dáil chamber. And it's all that, like, all that has to be matched with hard work and listening to people, you know, and bringing real solutions, not just banging on the table and saying this is wrong and that's wrong and isn't this terrible, but bringing real solutions and showing up all the time, Claire. Showing up every single day.
Well, Daniel, thanks for coming in to see us. Daniel Ennis there, newly elected Social Democrats TD.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.